and the strippers and so on and party, and they used to drink absinthe. And then it got forbidden. And look what happened to Van Gogh.
He cut off his ear.
He lost his mind.
Yes, he did. Hey, we're back on Hard Rock Radio Live. And Jared, who do we got on the phone?
We got Mark Starace of Krokus.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Yeah. Rock and rollers all over the U.S. of A. How are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you on, Mark?
Do what?
I said it was great to have him on.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And right off the bat, we're talking
great
about absinthe and strippers
again.
And...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Sometime or another, we're going to get with Mark, and he's going to like sing, and I'm going to play like the guitar, and we're just going to rock out.
Okay.
That'd be awesome. But, hey, what's going on with you guys here lately? Fill us in.
Well, as you might know, if you've lately looked on our website or received a newsletter from our webmaster and fan club, president, Mr. Peter Valti in Denver, Colorado, mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he represents Krokus in the USA, and he might have told you that what we've been doing in the past few months is nothing but writing new songs for the new album by the original members from 1982. So that's something which needs time, and that's why we're pretty quiet at the moment. But we're going to go out and do this big festival in Switzerland on the 5th of August. You know, so take some fresh air from the studio.
yeah, because people don't realize you get in that studio environment, and it's like, after a while, you got to get out.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. You got to get out.
Well,
we got to get out of this place.
One, I'm pretty excited about you guys getting back together to the original lineup from the 80s, so that's smoking right
thanks.
There.
Yeah. And we had an incredible turnout in the stadium. In the National Swiss Stadium in Bern last year, 2008, 2nd of August, that was the big day for Krokus because it's not easy to get original members back together. Luckily, we were all still alive, and that's one big help. And secondly, we managed to get back together because I guess age gives you more wisdom apart from the wrinkles.
yeah, definitely,
and,
definitely.
You know.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, you've all got together, and you've already wrote some stuff, right?
Yeah, we've got eight in the can so far.
Uh-huh. And is it kind of like the old sound in the 80s?
Exactly. What we're doing is we're trying to merge. it's coming. Actually, it's coming very naturally. But you know, we're being very careful which songs to choose and working on the ones more suitable. So that's why it's taking time. But it's really mm-hmm. fitting like a glove with first four albums. You know, Metal Rendezvous, Hardware. One Vice at a Time, Headhunter, and also, you know, some merges a bit with what we did To Rock On Not To Be, 1985,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of Hellraiser, the last studio album released by Krokus last 2006.
Yeah, which we had you on before and talked about it as well. Hey, Jared, you got a question?
Yeah, I was curious. Do you notice any besides the age difference? You know, you're much older and wizened and everything now than you were in 1980. Besides all that, are you noticing any major differences when you go out on the road and everything again than from last time?
Well, our intention for 2010 is to go on the road doing specifically chosen places which don't stress us too much, you know, with too much long distance driving and all that. I mean, in the 80s, you know, you got to remember we used to spend like 9 months on the road in a go, and like hop right. from one tour to another, and stay on the road, and mostly in the U.S. of A., you know, because that was the best country to tour. It was just, you know, the fans there were just totally tuned into what we were doing, so it was fun. And so what we do now is we're going to concentrate more on the strongholds, and obviously we're going to leave this up mainly to our agent in the USA, you know, because they know the market better than us, so far away across the big pond. So I've got my fingers crossed, and we're all looking forward. The band is fired up because it's going to be one hell of an experience and a sentimental journey for every band member in Crocus from 1982. You know, it's going to be something else.
Cool. Awesome. Hey, I know when you come around our area, me and Bachelor are definitely going to go. So.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Look forward to seeing you. I mean, you get in touch with Peter, and we'll get you some VIPs, and we'll, you know, hang out with us, and, you know, let's do the thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm definitely going to have to come up to where you guys are then, because we're going to have to all go together.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Cool.
Val, you got a question?
Mark, I got a question for you. did you ever get to really sign some really cool spots? And have you ever had anybody come back later and say, "Hey, man, I tattooed on your signature on my boob"?
I know. Things like that happen all the time. And they still do occasionally. And, well, it's exciting, you know. It's all part of the fun. And one does it lightheartedly and moves along. So it's all part of a game, you know. I think it's funny.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, you know, if Val shows up at your show, that her nipples are going to be poking out big time, ready to be signed.
Maybe. We'll see.
Is there a picture of you on your website?
Yes, Val? There is on mine.
Oh, really?
We'll have to send you some naked pictures, though.
So we'll have to check it out.
Yeah, you have to give him the address.
I thought you were sending in my ass shot the other day.
Well, we ruined that one.
Yeah, we ruined that one, Val. Yeah.
What did you send in?
We wore that one out already.
So. I'll let Bachelor Grimm, you want to fill him in on the picture?
We were explaining to her how we took a picture of her ass, and I printed it up, and I had my way with it, and then took a picture and sent it to Bad Slayer, and he had his way with it, so you can't even tell it's an ass anymore.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh. But anyway, hey, let's play.
And moving on.
Moving on. Thanks, Val, for bringing that up. Oh, no.
Well, you didn't really have to say it if you didn't want to.
No, that's all right. Hey, I tell you what, let's play some Smelly Nelly.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, I love how this begins. It's awesome. Check it out. Turn it up. Crank it up. Rock on. All right, Smelly Nelly and American Woman.
That's an awesome cover tune.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Remember the last time we had Mark on, and he'd done a little bit of the beginning of that Smelly Nelly?
Oh, yeah.
I know. Dunk, dunk, da 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 da. You know Smelly Nelly, she's cross-eyed and dumb.
I love love it. I love it. Absolutely love it. Hey, Mark, out of all the albums you released, and I know this is going to be a tough question. I mean, you know, but which album is your favorite album so far?
That's always the tough one. Mm-hmm. It's really a tough question. you know, there's off every album, there's a couple of songs you really love, and it goes in categories, you know. But I mean, I even love songs from the latest one we released. You know, as I said, last year, the year before, Hellraiser. And I already love songs from the coming one, which hasn't been released, mm-hmm. you know. But then there's evergreens like Screaming in the Night, which is the ballad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, songs like Long Stick Ghost Boom and Heat Strokes, which I still love to listen today. And I kind of... I'm amazed at... what was in our heads, you know, in those days to come up with songs like that. And so that's why the challenge today is to be able to come up with songs of the same quality, of the same caliber. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're taking our time with the new songs on the new album. Mm-hmm. And it's working, I guarantee. Mm-hmm.
Is there any song that you've ever done, though, that you, you know, you sit back and you listen to it and go, you know, I would really like to redo that again or just change something?
Yeah, actually, we did a ballad from the Blitz album, and this was called Our Love Will Never Die. Mm-hmm. And we also made a special video to that on MTV. Mm-hmm. And this was during the MTV pioneering days and so on. And I wouldn't mind doing a cover of that song and kind of simplifying it and sticking to the groove, because when I look back at it today, I kind of feel, although it's a great song, I kind of feel it might be a bit too complicated for today's audience, you know, today's mm-hmm. Crocus audience.
Right.
But we're working on, or we shall be working on, new ballad ideas, and I guess and hope we're going to come up with a good one, so we don't need to take anything from the past and cover ourselves, you know. Mm-hmm. But I had my solo band going, you know, did a few gigs, and I took that song and kind of rearranged it, so I know it works, you know, mm-hmm. and it works well. So, yeah, I guess that one, and there must be a few others, which I think, you know, one could redo and kind of recompose or just rearrange. Mm-hmm. And give a new attitude and groove and bring it out today, and it's going to be even more popular than in the 80s. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know like the song you said, Heat Strokes, you know.
Yeah.
I can still listen to that today and go, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's one of them. I kind of compare that to, just to give you an example, say if you take AC/DC and say TNT, you know,
yeah,
those mm-hmm. songs you just can't touch, you know. Mm-hmm. Great as they are, and you should leave them be.
Yeah, because it honestly, if anybody would redo that, they would butcher the you know what out of it. They really would, because it's perfect the way it is, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just, it's one of those songs they should say no, you know. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Even the sound is something you couldn't even copy today.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, because, you know, that...
Ooh, it's so warm.
Exactly. And you don't have that kind of sound too much today. I mean, you do certain, but there's not too much of that anymore. You know, you can't, you know, it's just hard to replicate. Go ahead.
Hey, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, there's too much metal, you know. You see, we Crocus, actually myself too, you know, we're more like the pioneers, like more the hard rock with the boogie and the blues touch, you mm-hmm. know. And I feel that the more modern metal is kind of too metallic, and for me that's a little less warm. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, you know, going off of what you said there real quick before, I hate that I'm kind of interfering with Metal Edge's question, but you know, whenever I give somebody the song Long Stick Goes Boom on the station to play, they listen to it and they go, AC/DC.
Birds of a Feather.
That's right.
But, you know, when I'm hearing it, you know, I can hear, I know what they're saying, but they're not saying it's exact, you know, AC/DC, because it's not, because it's got, you know, it's a little bit more guitar in it than a normal AC/DC song, and the singing's definitely different, but they say, you know, it's kind of similar, you know, similar in feel and stuff, but, you know, I freaking love that album. Go ahead, Middle Edge.
Hey, speaking on your solo, excuse me, your solo projects, and you've had a chance to do a couple duets with some other female singers. Can you elaborate a little bit on that for us?
Well, you mean whether I already did or will do?
That you have already done, or are you going to do? I know that we talked.
Yeah, I wrote this song for a film called Anouk. It's a song about like kind of Neanderthal Swiss tribe, you know, in the mountains, and we had Doro Pesch starring in the film as one of the main characters, and the main actor, who was actually the film director, and myself, we got together at my place and wrote a song for the movie, and I sang it with Doro and with my friend Luke Gasser. He's very well known in Switzerland. So that was a great experience. And actually then, back in the 80s, I mean, I did duets. We had Robert Halford coming into the studio, and he sang on Are You Ready? Are you ready? Ready to Burn?
Yeah, another good one.
He's on that. And also Bruce Dickinson came into the studio, you know, Iron Maiden chap, and he sang some stuff on One Ice at a Time. And I remember Mutt Lange, AC/DC's producer, sticking his head into the studio, because they were actually in Studio B mixing For Those About to Rock. You know,
with
the Canon. Yeah. And, so I've worked with, you know, Jimmy Jamerson?
Yes.
Survivor. He sang on Screaming in the Night with me. And who else? Oh, boy.
There's just a whole list of
them. I've done plenty more which didn't get recorded, you know, like with Sammy Hagar. Did Led Zeppelin's Whole Lotta Love with him live on stage a few nights, you know, because we used to tour with Sammy when he was still alone as the Red Rocker, and we used to have fun. Cool guy.
Yeah, he was definitely. I liked him as the Red Rocker myself.
Yeah, better.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah.
He's got a new band called Chickenfoot.
Chickenfoot.
Yeah.
Really.
With
really?
Cacciarani and Michael Anthony and him and another guy. I can't remember the other guy's name right now, but
sounds like voodoo to me.
It does sound like voodoo, doesn't it? Yeah, voodoo. Oh.
New Orleans, here we come.
Hey, Jared, you got another question?
Well, I was curious if I'm sure you've got plenty to choose from, but can you fill us in on any particularly wild event that took place, some weird hijinks or something during all your times in the concerts and such?
You mean some high points?
Yeah. Something really crazy.
Well, something really stupid happened in 2003. No, was it 3 or 4? Or maybe 5? I don't know. Is it Alzheimer or Grappa? Well, we don't know. We don't know yet. Something stupid happened when we were touring with actually Hellraiser. Or was it before the release? No, it was Hellraiser. Just before we hitched up with Hammerfall, you know, the big Swedish band. We were touring through Denmark on an icy road, and not far away from the same highway where, you know, lots of people have accidents, and actually Metallica's first bass player had lost his life. You know, we went into a skid on ice and slammed into a truck, this huge truck carrying heavy metal stuff, and came to a halt, luckily, against the barrier, and our driver nearly lost his leg. That was quite a tragedy, you know. Mm. But we managed to make it through the blizzard to Hamburg in time for the show from Denmark. But then another time, also in Denmark, so seems to be something with Denmark. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We were heading from Denmark to Germany, again towards the border, and the bus driver stopped to go for a pee, and I thought, you know, usually they stop for a coffee, and everyone else was already asleep. You know, I'm the night owl. I stay up late and listen to some chill out music and drink my cognac or grappa or whatever. And there was nobody on the bus, and I decided to jump off the bus and go take a pee too, but I didn't tell anybody. So when I came back, when I came back out of the whatever you call it, pissoir, the bus was already heading down the highway without me.
Hey, reminds me of that movie I saw. Was it where they left the lead guitar player or something? Lead singer, actually. Huh? What was that movie called?
I can't remember.
Almost Famous. They left him in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Sounds like Spinal Tap to me.
All right, amps go to A11. Yes.
I got a question.
Hi, Val.
Hi. I've been sitting here patiently, too. I really have.
Twiddling your thumbs.
You were talking about a lot of people that sang with you and stuff, and we're talking about music today versus, you know, back when and all that. Is there any bands that you've been hearing today that you just like, oh, wow, you know, that's really cool, and can you tell me any of that you've been hearing that you really, really like?
Well, I'm happy Warrior got back together. I really like them, and do say the drummer is really hot. And they're from L.A., and I did an album with them in 2003, I guess. Yeah. And I wish them luck. It's Joe Floyd is a cool guy and also a good cool engineer. And who else? You know, there's so much out. I admit I don't listen to as much as I used to because I got kids, teenage kids, and I kind of I'm too involved with what I'm doing myself.
Are your kids into music?
Hello?
Are your kids into music?
What?
Are your children into music? Your teenagers?
Yeah. They are. Actually, they're both musical. My son is 16, and my daughter's going to be 14 in August. And they're both, I'm lucky to say, good singers. Without me having ever pushed them, I never pushed them. You know, I want them to lead their own lives in freedom and have freedom of choice, and I just help them with whatever they need as much as I can, but I'm no good when it comes to algebra. They started off listening to Daddy's music and Deep Purple and when they were younger, and then they decided to listen to what they wanted to listen to, and my son started listening to rap, you know, so I couldn't get him out of that. Obviously it's his life, and it's not my generation, it's his generation, and through him I listened to what they were talking about, you know, a lot of protest in that music. But I'm not really into it, to tell you the truth. And my daughter is more the pop, you know, listens to the Sugar Babes and stuff like that, and all what the teenagers in the USA listen to as well. But they both are musical because he plays drums and she plays the piano very well. And so I'm not worried. You know, I know they'll find their way, and it doesn't have to be my way. It's gonna be their way. So I'm not worried about that.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
I'm just relieved that we'll never hear a Mark Strachey rap song. That's a good thing. Nothing gets you singing, because you can sing anything, and I've told you that like every time I've ever talked to you, because I've heard you sing, you know, Led Zeppelin and all kinds of stuff. So I mean, you could do it, but I'm like, thank goodness you're not into that. Thank goodness. Oh man. Ooh, okay.
Well,
go ahead.
I there's too many good rappers out there for me to try to compete anyway. My tongue just won't get around so many words in such short time, you know. And especially if I have a my tongue gets a little heavy when I have some grappa, you know. So it just doesn't go around all the corners.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Grim, you were saying something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just curious. You're when you're not involved in music. Do you have any little hobbies you like to do around the house or whatnot?
Well, just before I picked up the phone, I came in here. I was still sweating because I did some gardening. You know, I like gardening. You know, I've got this small patch with herbs. For the kitchen herbs, you know, like rosemary and sage and so on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm. What other kind of herb are you growing?
The other kind of herb I usually get offered, you know, when I'm like.
It is a kitchen herb though, because it makes you eat
back, a lot. Back sage, you know, it's like a night. It's the best nightcap, you know.
Yeah, that's a nightcapper, all right.
Try to sleep.
Hey, Val, do you got another question before we go to the next song, and then we'll take another short siesta here? And
no, go ahead and turn it up, crank it up.
All right.
That's the spirit.
Hey, we're going to play some Heat Strokes and Screaming in the Night. We were just talking about them at the beginning.
Awesome.
So turn it up, crank it up, and rock it out. I hate it that it don't let it play out the last little part there on the sand player. Kind of cuts it off. The last part's the cool part where he does a little drum roll. Yeah.
You could even cut that as an intro.
Yeah, you could.
I'm sure.
But yeah, you could. You could like an intro like to a promo for like you saying, you know, hey, you're listening to the Metal Crypt or something. That'd be awesome.
Or you could just cut it out and just play it once in a while in the middle of a conversation out of the blue.
Yeah.
That way we always have you as part of the interview, no matter who we're talking to.
Hey, cool, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Awesome.
I'm thinking that he'd be like a sound effect, so I could do the... Yeah. But it'd be, hey, Hunter!
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba. Hey, Hunter!
I feel sorry for the town we're partying in one of these days. I'm telling you right now. Oh man,
I'm looking forward.
Oh, it'll be great. But I tell you,
we get Val a special T-shirt.
Hear that, Val?
What's the special T-shirt entail? Yes, cut out nipples
with three holes.
Three holes.
Three holes.
Three holes. Okay.
Can't let the belly button get jealous.
That's right.
There you go.
Gotta show that.
Or actually, just a short T-shirt. That's yeah.
Yeah, I like the short T-shirt idea. That's
short T-shirt with two holes.
Yeah, no sleeves.
And no sleeves, of course.
Yes, absolutely.
And very low back.
You know what? We might as well just have her go topless. Why not?
Hey, I know. Why don't we just do the body paint thing?
Yeah.
That's
we'll paint
good.
The shirt on her.
Yeah, like how the crocus emblem across the front.
Yeah, that'd be cool across the front. Crocus. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Happy thoughts right there. I'm thinking
happy
nice.
Thoughts.
Who's painting my nipples?
Mark will.
If she does that, we'll be singing that variation of Screaming in the Night.
We don't want Grim to do it. He won't be able to get it done.
Sing the party version.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Oh, man. Woo. Hey,
what
so,
question was that? Is he going to sing that again?
Do what?
Yeah, how did that go again?
How you mean creaming in my pants? Just get up and dance.
Yeah, there you go, baby.
Wait till Peter hears this interview. He'll be going, oh, my God.
Censorship.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. He'll be going, dang, man, I don't know if I won't be around when these guys are around or not. Jeez.
Woo. Now you'll be getting requests on all your shows now.
I mean, that's life. Time to be serious, time to party.
Oh, yeah,
keep the balance.
Yep, definitely. And if you can't have fun doing it, why do it? Yeah, exactly. So when are you guys expecting maybe to get this released?
Well, it should be end of the year, mm-hmm. hopefully. We just signed a worldwide deal with Sony Records, and they're very excited, and we're just hoping that we're gonna get done in time, and they're excited, and I'm sure they're not gonna waste time to release it. And if we should get stuck for some reason or other, then it'll be January of 2010. Which is not so bad, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking pretty good.
Yeah. But you know,
great,
it's kind of like waiting
year,
for Christmas, though.
Yeah.
We've released so many albums, you know, that if we don't release a couple of years, that doesn't hurt anybody.
It's kind of like waiting for Christmas. I can't wait, man.
Well, same here, you know. We're all... But we still have to control our excitement and work on to produce, good beauties that are going to hold out over the next 50 years.
I'm excited about the resurgence of the 80s and early 90s bands coming back out. So
that's really great, and I'm so happy that it's happening in the USA again. Because when we started out, it was there weren't too much, there wasn't that much happening, and now it's growing again. And of course, I'll be even happier if we can manage to reach the same dimensions. Maybe not touring so often, but you know, in audience-wise, I mean. That we had during the 80s, because we toured from coast to coast and we did the whole of the USA over and over and visited Canada and South America, and it was just great, really great.
Yeah, because, and, you know, we're dying for you all to be over here, and it would be such a freaking awesome thing. I know you all came over for Rocklahoma, didn't you?
Not yet. Well, not yet. We have to postpone,
uh-huh.
And we thought we'd be making it this year, but we're still in the studio, and it makes absolutely no sense going on the road before we release, you know, because kids are gonna come to the concert and be disappointed not to have any new material to buy,
mm-hmm.
and take home and listen to and. You know, drive around in their cars and so on. So we're going to do it put the cart behind the horse, you know.
And
get the CD out first and then tour and promote and try and go everywhere and reach our old fans and make new ones, you know. And we're all looking forward. The whole band is excited. And actually, I'll be going into the studio next month in June, doing four more recordings, vocal recordings,
mm-hmm.
together with a bass player, Chris. And it's fun. We're recording in Germany in this place called Winterbach. It's close to Stuttgart. It's where they build Mercedes,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's a nice little town outside of the city, and there's a cozy hotel next door, and with a good bar there, and some great takeaways that we can order, from Chinese to Indian to traditional German, and so on and so forth. Including pizzas, if we feel like. and so we have our good time in the studio, too, and keep a good atmosphere
mm-hmm.
going. And we have an American engineer, Dennis Ward. And Dennis recorded the Hellraiser album, which is the last album released by Crocus in 2006. And that's how we got to be working together again, because we had a great time then, and I don't believe in wrecking a good team. You know, it's, if you have a good time in the studio, it's worth its weight in gold, because
mm-hmm.
you have to get this atmosphere going, and there's no audience, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, man. Anybody else got a question?
Hello? Well, I want to say one thing, though. That I know now when you come to the States with the original lineup of Crocus, I'm going to bring one of my albums and they can all sign it.
Hey, that's what we're into. Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that and hopefully sign the new one, too.
Yeah, we actually got one from the Hellraiser. Me and Batchelor did. We got a...
Okay.
And a CD, so that was uh-huh. cool.
Signed CD.
Yeah,
we still have it up on the wall here.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We've been playing the couple of songs from that album live with the originals. They love the title song, Hellraiser, and so do I still. You know, it really fits into the Crocus repertoire of the 80s. Of the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mark, since you've been at the helms of Crocus, there ain't a bad song, in my opinion, so. This is
I guess it depends on the mood. It's the same with any other band, any other rock band. They have albums which don't all sound the same, including Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple, AC/DC, and Kick-Ass albums, and then maybe a couple of albums which are slightly and less power chords, and maybe in our case we'd have an album which is more boogie than metal. For example, Headhunter, the whole album was like one metal concept, you know, and you could put this on level with anything released by Judas Priest. And that's why we had Rob Halford as guest, and we were using Judas Priest's producer, you know, Tom Allen, and we had a real great time doing that album in Florida, and I'll never forget, you know. Whereas doing One Vice at a Time, or even Hardware, it's a totally different story, you know. Mm-hmm. So time, you know, the feel of the moment, the sign of the times is sometimes imprinted on the work, you know, on the songs, on the production. So you can't really say this is a bad song, that's a bad, this is a good song. You know, if you're into metal, then listen to this. If you're into boogie, listen to this.
Yeah.
If you like more sentimental stuff, like I mentioned before, you know, the Blitz album has songs like Our Love Will Never Die, which was a pretty big hit for us in the USA. And then we had Change of Address, which also had some great moments on there, and that was kind of bluesy, really bluesy, melancholic, and there were no power chords, not too much, and it wasn't typical Crocus anymore, you know. Yeah. But what? Thanks for the compliment.
Hey, I tell you, what was your favorite food to eat over here in the States, though?
I used to love it whenever they start. I used to start smelling the barbecue backstage, and then I knew that catering were gonna feed us ribs, you know, with American barbecue sauce, and nowhere in the world can you beat that, you know.
Oh, that's good stuff, boy.
Hey, we're gonna take your bandmate Don with us when we go. He can cook some ribs for him.
Oh yeah, you'd love Don's ribs. I tell you what, those are to die for. Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. With some bacon.
Good. Makes his own homemade barbecue sauce.
Mm. Yeah. Barbecue sauce, coleslaw. I love the coleslaw in the States.
Yeah, and you can't forget Val's nipples with some butter.
There you go. Dip her nipples some butter.
Or honey.
That, or there you go, honey. You even go. Better. Yes. Takes longer to lick that off. Absolutely. Good idea.
Don't get all over the place. It don't belong in your face.
All right. Well, let's play some Headhunter. Or not Headhunter. Hellraiser, because we were talking about that. And
okay.
And we'll play some other Crocus tunes as well. But we'll talk off air. But, man, so far, this has been an awesome, awesome time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I appreciate you inviting me over.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome. Here it is.
Well, thanks. Thank you.
Hellraiser.